been studying redemption in relationship to Passover, that the Passover is the redemption. It's the beginning of months, or the beginning of time, if you will, or it's the beginning and the end of time. But one of the main readings from the prophets for Passover is Isaiah 43. And so we're going to spend a couple days looking at Isaiah 43. What?
I just appreciate your time coming. The beginning and the end of time. I like that.
Isaiah 43. Tell you what, let's do. Let's start with some of Isaiah 42 first. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles wait for his law. Now, this is the picture, if you will, of our Redeemer. And the whole idea, I want you, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. In other words, there is nothing in time and space that he has any interest in, save the mystery being fulfilled in his people. He has no interest in politics. He has no interest in finance or psychology or psychiatry. He has no interest in doctors. He has no interest in anything except the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is God so loved the bride, if you will, that he gave his son. Now let's go to Isaiah 43. Let's go down to verse 13 of Isaiah 42. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. That's the whole thing that goes on in the third chapter of 2 Peter, where everything is dissolved, if you will. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs. I will make the rivers islands, and I'll dry up the pools. I'll bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. They shall be turned back, they shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, you are gods. Now, remember, the graven images are the things that you believe are right, that you should do or not do. And those are graven and they're etched on the walls of your mind. And the molten images are the images of brass, of silver, and of gold. that you have created, or the evil one has created in you to deceive you. And so that whole mystery of what happens internally with graven images and molten images are your emotions. They come from the fire of rejection mostly, and then these things are your ways of getting out of it, of self-redemption, of self-glory and self-judgment. But that's why he said, they shall be turned back, they shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images and that say to the molten images, you are our gods. Now, how do you say that? You say that by trusting or believing in or following your emotional being. You understand? All right. Hear ye deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? We're blind to anything. We see through everything. But we are blind to time and space. We give no breath. We love not the world. We give no breath to the things that are in the world. All right. Let's go down. Now we'll do Isaiah 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou pass through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave for thy ransom Ethiopia. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since that, what does that mean? What does it mean? I gave Egypt for thy ransom and Ethiopia and Seba for thee. The only reason anything exists is to see the mystery of God in it. There's no other reason. And whether it was the plagues on Egypt or what happened, I don't remember what happened in Ethiopia and Seba, but
we can look that up.
That can be your homework. But the point of it is, that is our, everything exists for your purpose. You own all things. You've been perfected forever by one offering. No matter when it happened in time, everybody's experience of being born from above takes place on Passover. No matter when it happened, everybody's experience of being born from above, it's happened on Passover.
Like the timelessness of Passover.
Right. All right. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witness that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall they be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior, or there is no Redeemer. Now, why is this so important? Why was this read on Passover? Well, to show the exclusiveness of him as the only Redeemer, but it's to prepare you. Remember, Purim first, showing God at work behind the scenes. Passover, the betrothal. The counting of the Omer, the coming out of the 49 gates of impurity. Then what happens? Pentecost. Hopefully by then you have emptied yourself so that you're an empty vessel that can receive the fullness of Pentecost. And from Pentecost, excuse me, from Pentecost to the book of Ecclesiastes on the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles. It's all about making sure that all idolatry is destroyed, so that the marriage supper of the Lamb can be celebrated on the eighth day. And this cycle of time is repeated as long as time exists. So you can keep always in mind the picture of the marriage supper of the Lamb, when the betrothal was, when the empowerment was, when the destruction of all idolatry, and then finally the marriage supper. Eighth day, the end of time. Hopefully on that eve of the seventh day, the seventh angel can stand within you and declare, and you know it and believe it, that the mystery of God is now completed in you. So therefore time is no longer. No more, you pay no attention to time except for the feasts. But everything in your being has to be concentrated on this event of Passover, because it is the beginning of everything from your standpoint, from God's standpoint. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we talked about last night. Every day should be the destruction of leaven. Every time you eat solid food, it should be the first part of the afternoon. Every time you drink something, it should be the second part of the afternoon. So that every time you breathe out you, breathe in him. Every time you go to the bathroom, you're getting rid of you. I mean, it's over and over and over. And everything about your life, and that's all that's going on. But do you agree that's all that's going on, or do you have some important things to do? Now nothing is more important than anything else. The ranking of things in time and space stops. They are all equal. molten gods, that's what you worship.
But the graven images are your own personal and programmed laws from your parents and society and schools and
your behavior, the defined behavior. Well, they're just ignored. That's not your guiding system any longer.
You come to see that, and you quit bowing down to those, what then become emotional, the relationship takes place.
Well, no, emotions are different. Emotions are the things that you can't control. The things that can anger you with a word.
Let me give you the synapse here. Have a graven religion, you're serving your graven images, and then you don't do it one day, it becomes emotional. Now you're not right with God anymore, and you get freaked out, and that turns into an emotional turmoil for you. I know people whose houses I work on who can't let a screw be loose, like it screws up their religion. And if I don't tighten their screw for them,
yeah, I understand. Okay, I think we're on verse 12. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Now let me read that again. I have declared, I have saved, I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Better translation is within you. That's why the destruction of your idols is so critical. I've declared, I have showed, I have whatever, when there's no strange God within you. You have to see the futility of the gods. You have to see the futility and emptiness of the graven images. You have to see the futility and the emptiness of the molten images. And then they have no effect on you. Because your source of being and of life comes from outside of time, and you're connected. There's a, I don't even know how to say it, but there's nothing in time and space that gives you life. Gives you sustenance and satisfaction. And when this happens, then all the things that we talk about, that you know, the whole idea of your speech, or both your thought and your speech are seasoned with salt. So there's a component of eternity in everything you say and think. If any man speak, he's speaking from that oracle of God, from that place under the wings of the cherubim, on the mercy seat. Again, its location of sphere is the mystery of the Greek language. But it's not that you shouldn't have small talk, or you shouldn't talk about the world. It's that if you are in the location of sphere, in on the mercy seat, then your speech will be seasoned with salt. You will only speak from that place and think from that place, instead of being guided by all the stimulus that's going on around you. Somebody doing something you don't like. Your whole way and manner and source of life is from a different place.
There's a trick to that. I see it can't be done consciously, because if you're doing that, you're doing it with the power of your mind and your soul.
It can only be done by repentance.
And then it's done without your awareness, conscious or subconscious perhaps. You just being.
Yeah, I know, but again, the first thing always is repentance. Once repentance happens, and true repentance, and there's abandonment and divorcing of self, a final divorce. The judge has declared it's now final and over. Then there is a denial of self, an emptying of self, of ignoring self. And all the self becomes as automatic as breathing. But it has to be coupled. It can only begin with repentance. And then if you find yourself giving something in the world, giving it breath, and immediately you empty. You don't sit and you don't have to do the same thing. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to go back to the refrigerator for sour milk before. Verse 14, thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. In other words, none of these things that are going on in the world have any more influence on you. And this is, you get sucked back in so easily with, you know, something happens that you don't like, or, you know, somebody gets elected that you don't like, or whatever. And all of a sudden you're sucked back, giving breath, loving the world again. Well, you've got to come to the place where you see that as a stench. You see that you're returning to dung and playing with it in your mind. I am the Lord, your Holy One.
Oh, Lord, you're reading that right
now.
Huh? 15.
We're now in verse 15.
Verse
15 of 43. 43. We've been in 43 for the last 20 minutes.
I got distracted.
All right. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which brought forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinct, they are quenched as tow. And I don't know what tow is. Anybody know what tow is?
I think it's heavy tar, isn't it?
I don't know.
What's the word?
T-O-W. But here's the kicker, verse 18. Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. They're meaningless. They got you here, but now they're gone. Neglecting. You neglect it. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, and dragons and the owls, because I gave waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise, but thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. But thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offering, neither have thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast brought me to no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins, and hast wearied me with thine iniquities. Now, what does that mean? You put the Lord's name on your idolatry. So you've made him to serve with your sins. Hmm. asset of redemption. I am he that blotteth out thy transgression for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father hath sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to the reproaches. Now, the whole meaning of that is that they didn't serve him with their sacrifices because they didn't see the meaning of the sacrifice. They didn't serve him with their burnt offerings because they didn't see the meaning of the burnt offering. Unlike Moses, Aaron, Abraham, even Abel, that saw him in those mysterious sacrifices. That's why everything is according to the pattern showed Moses in the mount. He was in the mount for 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat or drink during that 40-day period. He was in eternity for that 40 days. It could have been 10,000 years. You understand? Because there's no time in eternity. And so he was visited. He visited eternity. God took him to the place that is above all places, and showed him the patterns that are instructing us in what this meaning, what show the feasts that are to be celebrated forever, to show the mystery of God in the minutiae of the feasts. That's why we study. Come on in, that's all right. That's why we study these things. So that the feast, that's some meaningless skit. Cancel those damn skits.
I'll pass it off.
Well, I'm not a good that'll do. All right, so Isaiah 43 is one of the main prophets that we read. I mean, the main readings of the prophets for this feast. So study it. Study Isaiah 42. He will not break a bruised reed, nor will he quench a fire. He has no interest in what's going on in time and space. He's not here to please men. Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal self, live thou thy life in me. Do thou thy will in me. Be thou made flesh in me. I have no self but thee. I have no will but thine. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. It's not a prayer. A declaration. Anybody else? Anything else? Everybody understand perfectly? Take it, big guy.